Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by the Maine Historical Wargamers Association. They're the folks behind Huzzah! Historical Wargaming for New England. Huzzah will take place May 19th through the 21st, 2017 at the Doubletree in South Portland, Maine. Experience some of the best historical wargaming at Huzzah! Visit www.huzzahcon.com for more information. Wargaming Recon is made possible by listeners like you. Become a Patreon backer to get behind-the-scenes content and new episodes before everyone else, starting at $1 per month. Visit wargamingrecon.com/Patreon to become a Patreon backer. Welcome to Wargaming Recon. I am your host, Jonathan J. Reinhardt. Wargaming Recon is the only member of the Troll in the Corner. Haha, you guys thought I was going to mess up again. Nope. Sure. And there I go. I'm thinking I'm going to do a joke and then it doesn't work out. Okay. So if I was smart, that would end up in the bloopers, but it's probably going to just end up in the beginning of the show. So let's try that again. Welcome to Wargaming Recon. I am your host, Jonathan J. Reinhardt. Wargaming Recon is the only member of the TSR Podcast Network to discuss historical and New England gaming. This is episode 103, Extra Life Gamerthon 2016. So that's right, everyone, for all of you, whether you are new or longtime listeners, I think you're in for a treat today. This is our final new, completely new episode of the 2016 podcast season, and it is dedicated to and devoted to all things pertaining to the Extra Life 24-Hour Gamerthon. So before I dive into that and explain what the Extra Life charity is and the Gamerthon and all that kind of stuff, I want to just let all of you know I'm going to talk about a variety of things, and it's very important that you keep one thing in mind, okay? I know a lot of you like to listen while you're painting, maybe you're making rules, you're commuting to or from work, you're at the gym. Okay, maybe not at the gym. Anyone who's seen me, you know, I'm not a gym person, and a lot of us probably are not, but maybe you're at the gym. I don't know. You're at the gym or you're working or you're doing whatever. The point is, you are not at your computer. You're not like, I'm going to sit here and listen to this show and be like, what is Jonathan going to say? Let me look it up right now. Nobody does that. So you're not going to remember everything, and I wouldn't expect you to, but you can remember this one thing. You can remember the link to the show notes, and the show notes are where I will have links to stuff. I will have more information and outline the things that I discuss in this episode. So you can remember that one thing, which is the link to the show notes, wargamingrecon.com/WR173. wargamingrecon.com/WR173. Okay. So if you are unfamiliar with Extra Life, let me take a moment and explain it to you. Extra Life is this amazing charity that exists so that kids who have need of medical treatment, these are kids usually who are suffering from cancer, cystic fibrosis, leukemia, all sorts of really, really scary diseases and illnesses. These kids need medical treatment, and their families cannot always afford to give them that treatment. Now, I don't know about you, but I think every kid should be able to get the medical care they need. It shouldn't be a question of, can you afford it? Can you not? These are kids, right? They need the medical care, and it should be made available to them. However, they can't always get it because their families may not necessarily be able to pay for it. And as a parent, I can't imagine what that must be like to be like, little Timmy has leukemia. We can't afford the chemo treatments, so little Timmy's not going to go and get them. It breaks my heart. And I'm not the only one. A lot of people are passionate about this. And so Extra Life exists because it raises money, and that money then goes directly to children's hospitals. And the money allows kids to go and get medical treatment that they need, regardless of their family's ability to pay or to not pay for that medical treatment. So if the kid has leukemia or they have cystic fibrosis, they need their lungs cleaned out, they got cancer, they need transfusions, chemo, whatever, they need some sort of medical treatment, they're given it. It's paid for by the funds raised by Extra Life, and there's no questions asked. It's just, there you go. The kids get the care they need, and the world's a little bit better. So Extra Life does that. I've been helping to raise money for Extra Life for, oh geez, this is my 5th year, I believe, doing it. Yeah, my 5th year. And one of the cool things that Extra Life does with this, not just like, hey, make a donation, but it couples it with people who like to play games, video games, tabletop games, war games, board games, any of that kind of stuff, any gaming. And it makes a neat twist by saying, okay, you've heard of the telethon. We're going to do a gamathon where for 24 hours, people can sign up and be participants. And then for those 24 hours, they play games. They do gaming related activity and people support them. They pledge X amount of dollars and that money comes in as donations and it gets pledged and given to Extra Life and then gets distributed to the kids who need it by way of the hospitals. The participants get to choose whatever hospital they want as long as it's part or affiliated with the Children's Miracle Network, which is a wide, and I believe international, wide-ranging network of children's hospitals. And a hospital can sign up and be part of that network, and then they're eligible to have funds raised for them through Extra Life. So I happen to raise money for Boston Children's Hospital, which is a local children's hospital. And it is also, in my opinion, one of the best children's hospitals in the world. So I am a participant and have been, and then people pledge money. It goes into Extra Life. It's tax deductible up to the point where it's allowed per law. Money goes to the hospital. Kids get the treatment they need. Treatment's paid for by the money raised via Extra Life. So that's my lengthy explanation of Extra Life and why I'm doing it. So as I said, I picked Children's Hospital and my daughter's benefited from the expertise of staff at Children's Hospital. So we've had an incident once where she needed a little bit of extra care. And so a Children's Hospital pediatrician was able to give her the care and help things out and move things along. I've had other family members who benefit from it and they help a lot of kids. Now I'm in a position where my wife and I are able to pay for the treatment. It's not a problem, but not everyone's in that situation. And as I said, I can't imagine what it's like to be like, I'm sorry, the little Sally. We really want to be able to do this for you. We need to do it where your mom, where your dad, but we don't have the money. We can't do it. Just, it's awful. And that's why Extra Life matters. And that's why people like me and many, many other people are participants in it. And that's why many people like you help to raise money for Extra Life. So yeah, people like me, like I gamed and I'm a participant and I'm going to talk about that in this episode, but it's people like you who have helped to raise money by donating it and doing other cool activities, which I'll talk about in this episode. So for this year, Extra Life, it's over. Money can always be donated at any point. You can use my special Extra Life charitable link, which is wargamingrecon.com/charity. And you can use that to donate online. My goal for it was to raise $250. The 24-hour gamathon was on November 5th, 2016. And I actually started a day early. And they allow you to do it any day you want during the year. They pick a certain date and say, like, that's when, like, everyone's kind of do it. But if you're, say, you're at work or you're not going to be able to do it or whatever, they say adjust as need be. So I started a day early because I knew it was going to be tricky. On that day, it happens to be a Saturday. They usually pick a Saturday because they know it's easier for people. Well, my wife works every other Saturday. I work just about every Sunday. And with the little one, I was like, how the heck am I going to do this? So I was able to ask my parents to see if they would take the little one. And they took my daughter for an afternoon. And I was like, okay, they're going to have her for an afternoon so I can do gaming. I'll do a gaming event here and have some friends over. And then I'll start the day before and do some other gaming myself. And then I did some gaming with her. So kind of wove stuff together. But I wanted to do like a centerpiece thing and have some friends over. And in the past, I've had friends and listeners come here to Wargaming Recon Central and play on my table. And we play some miniatures games. And to do that and have fun and this food and drink and all that kind of stuff. Kind of like a game day. And that's something I like to do. And in 2015, I took off from having anyone over because my daughter was really, really little, like really, really, she was just born basically earlier that year. And I know it's going to be hard. So just gaming here myself, did gaming with her and gaming with my wife. It was nice, but it was different. And so I wanted to go back to having people come here. I'm going to kind of walk through in a chronological system of how I approach things. And I might not actually discuss the games in chronological order, but generally how I did it. So on the Friday, I was like, okay, what am I going to do? Well, one of the things I love to do is I love to live stream, and I don't always live stream. I mean, the episodes are recorded live, so then that way they are live streamed so that you can watch. Yeah, you can watch live when I do them, and then you can watch on YouTube or wherever they happen to end up. They're always on YouTube, but in case they end up somewhere else, you can watch the video there. It's unedited. You get the raw footage, and it's not as pretty sounding or looking as the audio podcast you get if you subscribe to the podcast, but you can see that. But for Extra Life, I like to do some live streaming. And usually that ends up being computer-based gaming because I can set up a Google Hangout and share my screen, and so you can see what I'm playing. And that's what I did on the Friday. So I played a bunch of computer games. I played Prison Architect. I played SimCity. I played Tropico 5 and Total War Shogun 2. Now these are predominantly, except for SimCity, these are games that I had purchased through Steam. Steam is a great way that you can get computer games right away on your computer. You buy them online, they download through the internet, get onto your machine, you set up, you play, and you're golden. I've talked a lot about Prison Architect over the years, so I won't spend really any time discussing it now. If you're unfamiliar with Prison Architect, there's a lot of really great YouTube videos, and you can go to wargamingrecon.com and use our search bar and just type in Prison Architect, and you're going to find a bunch of things because I've talked about it just about every single Extra Life Gamerthon that I've done. So I don't want to bore people. They're being like, well, this is how you play and this is what you do. The live stream actually shares some of that. So you will have some of that if you watch that live stream. And there will be links in the show notes to each of the many live streams that I've done. I did multiple live streams this time around. So you'll have links to each of those. So they will be there and you can watch what I've done. I'm not going to say it's all good. It was interesting, but you can see this stuff. SimCity, this is the reboot SimCity that there was a lot of controversy when it first came out several years back because you can only play it online and all the servers were overwhelmed and you're like, I want to get in, but I can't do. It's much better now. They have extra content and things so you can have a lot of fun. What I really like about SimCity is something that also kind of annoys people. And that is, in as much as it is a city building game and you build your city and you craft and you specialize in things and you want to get people to come in. It's really a traffic simulator in that you might have the best whatever, but if your traffic is terrible in the city because you didn't design your roads right, people are never going to be able to get there and they're not going to want to. Just like in real life, I hate traffic. You probably hate traffic, right? We tend to hate traffic. There's a lot of it around, a lot of congestion. And so in the game, I like to kind of see how traffic is impacted by both the types of roads that I build, the way they're designed, how they're set up, and what is near them. So I get a lot of pleasure from that, which probably sounds odd, but it's neat. And I like to see the little cars and the little trucks simulating. They go, ooh, and they're driving all around to get to whatever. So it's kind of fun. So I enjoy doing that. Tropico 5 is a new version of Tropico. Tropico is another simulation game. I love strategy games. I love simulation games. You are basically a Caribbean dictator in the vein of now deceased Fidel Castro or any of them, really. It's not factual. It's a parody. It's comedy based. But you build up your island nation and it takes you through the different periods of history from when you're a colony of a British type empire, but of a European empire, and you work your way through to your freedom, and then you have the Industrial Revolution and the Cold World War II and Cold War, and then current times when you have tourists come and everything. In this, unlike the previous versions of Tropico, you have to beware that you could lose the game at any time because of either being invaded by foreign powers or because of rebels. It's a very real, very, very real possibility. And as such, you need to make sure that you have a strong enough army and that your people are happy enough. So it's a game that I love, but you can't just sit back and be like, let's just let the simulation run and see if we get a lot of money and how things go. Like, you really have to pay attention to it. And it's something that I'm still having trouble with just by playing it a fair bit. So I more often than not end up finding that a foreign power has invaded me and that I might have lost because of that. So it gets a little humorous when that happens, yes. But it's fun and I enjoy doing it. And there's a lot of extra downloadable content you can get for it that adds extra flavors and different things and more buildings and aesthetics and so forth. So it's a lot, period, is what it is. Now, Total War is a franchise I love. Not everyone does, but I do. And this game, Shogun 2, is their new version of Shogun, which is their feudal states period of Japan, Sengoku period of Japan, the Warring States, where there was all the different daimyos, the feudal rulers, the kings, if you were, of different areas, and they are fighting and so forth. So I have a campaign I'm doing, which is near the tail end of when Japan was becoming unified under the emperor. So they were the shoguns, and they held power for so long, and then in, what is it, the 1840s maybe? I probably have the dates wrong. The Meiji Restoration. It's kind of leading up into that. And so I'm doing this campaign. I'm trying to take control and unify all of Japan for the emperor instead of all the shogun and the feudal kings. So you have like modern firepower and rifles, and the United States comes in with modern ships. So you do have sailing ships, but you have like better cannons and so forth. And it's not like 1600s kind of warfare. It's cool. It's different. And doing it in that time period adds another layer of interest and difficulty because, of course, you're thinking, oh, well, you're going to build all the new advancements and everything. And you do, except that causes some problems because your populace is really, as much as they want to progress, they're rooted in the traditions that they have known and their forefathers have known for generations, for centuries. And so you get unrest from doing all these cool new advances by building railroads and building gunpowder factories and new ways and European ways. So you have that issue, which is, it's a problem, and you have to deal with it. And as such, you will have times where you're building all these things and you have that unrest. And so you're going to have more troops or have other measures to try to pacify the local residents of your provinces and your territories. Or you might find that you won't build that brand new, shiny, whatever modern thing because you can't afford to deal with the negative aspects of the people. Be like, we don't like new things. We want the old. We want to live in our huts and our little villages, and we want to grow rice and bend over in the rice fields and the paddies, and we want that to be the samurai. We don't want any of this other change. Change is bad. So you might not build those new things. It's a long-running campaign that I've been doing. It's all on the computer. It's a lot of fun. And I find with these Total War games, I actually prefer it to not control the battle. So when you engage in a battle, you attack a city or a castle or a fortified location or another army or navy, you can then choose to fight it yourself. So that you zoom in, you go from like that big campaign map of a region or a country or so forth, and you zoom right in, right and down to the battlefield, and you can move individual units and everything. And as cool as that is, and it looks nice when you have a really good graphic card and processor and everything in a high-end computer, and it does look cool, I don't enjoy that. I enjoy kind of zooming out and be like, I'm gonna move my army here, I'm gonna build this, and I like to look at the bigger picture instead of maneuvering the individual units around, which probably sounds weird for a war gamer, right? Because when we play war games, we're not like, let's zoom out from the map. We're in the thick of it. You're on the battlefield. And when you're playing on the table, you only have a small section of that battle. You play something like Gettysburg, right? And you're not going to fit all of Gettysburg on there unless you go like 2mm or 4mm scale models. You're going to have just a small section. And the models you are using on the battlefield, one toy soldier, right? It's probably like 50 or 100 guys. And so it's a little abstract, but you're still zoomed in pretty much. Where, so as much as I love that, when I play something like Total War, I want to back out a little bit and be a little higher up the chain and say, well, we're going to send the army here and we'll let the general and the troops and the unit commanders figure out how they're going to do it. But they're going to go and take care of things. And one of the things that I like in some of the newer Total War games, and they have it in the Rome 2 Total War, when you are engaging in combat, you can have your army general choose a stance. And by stance, it's kind of it's a posture. Do they want to be balanced in how they deal with the battle? Are they going to strictly be defensive? They're not going to actually pursue people, but they're going to stand there like in a shield wall and let the enemy come to them? Or are they going to be aggressive and initiate the charge and go after them? And in Rome 2 Total War, it gives you probabilities of how many troops you're probably going to have left depending on your stance, and it updates it. And it's not 100% accurate because there is some, you know, the fog of war, so to speak, but it gives you some of that so that you can be like, oh, let's go and see how it goes. And it gives you an idea. So that way it's not just all like, whatever happens, happens. We don't know. So it gives you a little bit of control, almost as if you were giving an order to your general. You're like, I'm the Supreme Commander and General so-and-so. I want you to capture this town and be quick about it and be aggressive. Take no enemy captive. Just go and take them all, kill them all, and do what you got to do. Or be like, well, I need you to preserve your force because you're going to be alone for a while. So you got to keep your strength as much as you can. So you might have the little more defensive one. Or just be like, do a little of everything, see how it goes. So I like that they have that. So that was a Friday, and also a little bit on the Saturday. I also played some NHL 2015 on my Xbox 360. I love hockey. I love hockey games. They're very easy to get into for video gaming. So I was able to play that while I waited for people to come over. So I invited a couple of my buddies over. Actually, I invited a variety of people, but not everyone was able to come. But my buddy Alex and my buddy Adrian came, and they're both co-hosts on the show now. So you'll see them, or hear them, I should say, from time to time here on the show. And they came over, and we live streamed gaming that we did on my table, which you've seen in some videos and pictures. If not, they're on the Facebook page, so you can find it there. And did a whole episode on how to make that gaming table. And it was, I got to say, it's not my instructions or recipe on how to create the gaming table. It's very simple and affordable, actually. It's a 6x4-ish table, and it's one that I play on. And the way I did it is very easy. I got the idea and instructions from Court, and what you do is you buy a 6-foot folding table, and they don't tend to be wide enough, right? So you then have to go and you buy some plywood. Plywood's really cheap. You get some plywood. You lay the plywood over it, and you get, it comes in certain sizes, but you can get it cut to whatever size you want. So obviously you want 4 feet wide by 6 feet long, or a little bit longer is okay. You just lay it over your folding table and you're done. And I have felt on it, and I've since upgraded to cigar box battle mats. Those will be reviewed in 2017, but so I have my green felt and all that kind of stuff on it. If you want the full instructions and details on what you need to do this table, it's dirt cheap, as I've said. It is way back in episode 92. So there'll be a link in the show notes for episode 92, Building an Affordable Game Table. And the link to that will also have, it'll take you to the show notes, really. But then you can play the audio right then from the page, our website. And there are PDFs so that you can see a drawing for what the game table should look like. And then there's a parts list, which will be really handy. So the drawing is not mine. It's my buddy Quartz. And he's really good with this kind of stuff. So it's nice schematics and gives you actual dimensions for things, for what the table is going to be and where the stuff is. And he made it even nicer, added extra supports and so forth. But you can do it a little bit easier. But there's a PDF, which is a scan of his drawing for that. And the parts list is also a PDF there on episode 92. That tells you what you need and everything. I believe for everything that I got, you buy the table, the folding table rather, and they're pretty cheap. They're about $45, $46 or so. And then you just need to add in plywood or attic decking, something like that. And it's going to be about $60 or $70 for everything. And that's not bad for a table. Gets you a surface that you need the right size. You can fit four people around it, two chairs per side, and then you have the other side. The short ends, like the head and the foot at the table, and people can be there and you can play games. And that's what I do. So we played a couple minis games that were a lot of fun. Now, the first one was a World War II skirmish game. It's called Operation Squad. My buddy Adrian bought it. And this is a really fun game in that kind of feel like you're playing a movie. So if you've ever seen Saving Private Ryan, he's Saving Private Ryan. But at the end, when, and spoiler alert, at the end, when the Americans find Private Ryan and they're there defending against the attack, it's kind of like that feel, so that you move or give orders, so to speak. You activate three models per side in alternating fashion, and you give them an order, such as they're going to move to, and you pick a spot like Black Powder. This regiment is advancing as far as it can. So if in Black Powder, if you roll and you get three moves, they advance really far, or it's going just to this hill or to this certain point, no further than whatever. They're doing this. So you give certain orders. They're going to move. They're going to move and shoot, which allows them to move and or shoot. They're just going to shoot and so forth. And then you move your troops in alternating fashion, and then you can shoot if need be. You roll dice depending on what kind of guns you have, and you try to score hits and knock people down and to kill them. You can throw grenades. There's reactions to things. You can mold your force, because it's a points-based system. I know not everyone's going to like that, and you don't have to do points. You can just say, these are what I have, and this is what they're using. And we kind of did a little of that. Like, we built points. I think it was like 100 points, 200 points is what we may have played. So I played as the Germans. I was a grenadier company, not a whole company, but I was grenadiers, and they were American paratroopers. So it was Alex and Adrian on one side and me on the other. And it was a lot of fun. We used some crescent. Why can't I think of the name of it? Some crescent. We were using some really cool 28mm terrain. And I want to say it's crescent root. And I think I got the name wrong. And I feel terrible because I'm going to be reviewing them in 2017 as well, because they have a new line of terrain coming out. Well, anyway, beautiful models for the terrain. And one of the great things about this piece of terrain, all the stuff this company makes, actually, Crescent Root, I'm right, Crescent Root Studio, sorry. One of the great things about it is that it's pre-painted, and it looks gorgeous. It just looks so good. So Adrian had one, I think, a piece of this from something, and he bought another piece, and he also has some miniature building authority stuff, which, again, pre-painted. I would strongly advocate, when you buy your terrain, and buildings especially, but terrain in general, try to get it pre-painted. It's going to cost more, but you're going to save time, because you're going to think, oh, buy this, I don't know, JR miniature stuff or whatever, because it looks nice, but it's not painted, and I'll paint it just how I want someday. You're probably never going to paint it. You might, and I hope you do, but with all the models you want to assemble and paint and all the other games, just make life easy on yourself. Get the pre-painted stuff. It looks good. It costs a little bit more, but you just put it on the table and you're golden. And they really seal it well, so you don't have to worry about stuff chipping or whatever. Saves you time. It's actually going to save you money long-term, because you're not going to have to buy all the paints and all the brushes and whatever. You're fine. So Crescent Root. So we played with that, and I actually thought I was going to lose, because my guys are dying left and right. And the scenario we played was you had to control a majority of the buildings in this town by the end of turn 8, I think it was. And I took one building and I had a bunch of guys in there, which is dangerous, because if a grenade goes in, they could all die. Even if the grenade misses the target, it goes boom, and you guys are like, blah, and they're dead. So it's dangerous. So I did have some spread out, and there was another building that was in ruins, and a building on their side. So they had the building on their side, which was a really good defensive position, and they had guys behind a wall, and they're going. But they had a lot of guys coming out, so I'm shooting at them, and I'm killing, and then they shot a bunch of my guys and killed them, and I tossed a grenade at one point, and I missed. And because I missed, I actually ended up killing another guy, and that caused them to have to take, like, basically a morale check. And so a bunch of the guys were failing morale, and they were kind of, like, fleeing and not able to do stuff. So it came down to two guys I had left and two guys they had left. And I had control. Actually, I think I had three guys. I had control of one building, which was closer to my side. And then the ruined building was kind of in the middle on the left side of the game. Again, you can see the live stream of this, link in the show notes. So I had guys in there, and Alex's guys were coming out, because Adrian's, I think, were all dead at this point or fled because of the morale check. And Alex was like, how am I going to get in? And so he came close and he tried to throw a grenade and didn't do anything. And it's like, well, I could stay further out, actually into the ruins, not really concealed as much. And then you can come and kill me. Or, like, we're almost at the end of the game. So I give my guys orders to move as far into the building as they could, away from all the doors, away from all the windows, thereby not allowing any shots on them from Alex's guys. End of the turn, game was over. Because I controlled two of the buildings, and therefore one, kind of a little sneaky. And honestly, I'm not sure if that's actually what would have happened if this was real. Because if it was real, I kind of think like my guys would be like, if we just hunker down here, we're going to get our throat slit in the middle of the night if we try to take a nap. And we don't know if reinforcements are coming. I think they would be like, we're going to go and we're going to try to shoot them. We're not just going to hide. Again, what do I know? But that's just what I thought. So who knows? And then we still had some time. So the second game we played was Alex's dungeon crawl game, which was really good. And this time around, he has part of a cave system that he's created out of polystyrene. This game, things went a lot further than they've ever gone before. So we didn't win, but we almost won. We were like one boss away kind of from winning. So it was really, really cool. His game's great. Again, he's talked about it on the show before. So you can find that in the show notes as well, because he was, whatever episode was he? Episode 170, crafting a homebrew game with Alex Kostopoulos. And he talks about that. It was a lot of fun. And the live stream kept on going, went on and on and on. And then I realized I didn't have my MacBook Pro plugged in. And so the battery was going, and then the live stream quit. So I had to plug it in. And then I had to create a new live stream. So there's a part two for that day too. So you'll have links to all three in the show notes. So it'll be day one, which is the Friday stuff that I talked about, basically computer gaming. Not the most interesting of live streams. Honestly, I'd skip that one, but it's there if you're interested. Day two is actually the Operation Squad stuff and a chunk of Alex's dungeon crawl. And then the day two, part two, one is the rest of his dungeon crawl. So at that point, the gaming ended with everyone because they had to go. I had to get my little girl. We had snacks, we had beverages, adult beverages, all sorts of stuff. It was a lot of fun. And then I caught my daughter and was there and had to do parent things while my wife worked. So I kind of took a break from gaming for a little while, although I did some computer games and video games and had her involved with that. She's kind of got it interested in seeing things like Mario Kart for the Wii and the Xbox games and that kind of stuff. And she went to bed, and then my wife was supposed to come home, and it turned out she had some really bad car problems and she couldn't drive her car. So I had to go and get her from work, which was a while. And my dad came and watched a little one. And so because of that, again, I had to take a break from gaming. So I gamed some more, but then gaming kind of got pushed into Sunday. So I finished up Sunday and kind of disjointed, not how I normally do it, but it was disjointed. And then I had to work. So that was the gaming for this year for the Extra Life 24-hour game-a-thon. So different than usual, but a lot of cool games that were played. And then in conjunction with this, instead of just having people make donations, and people did, I've kind of taken the baton from one of our listeners and a very kind supporter on Patreon. I'm talking about our friend Dave, who initiated a few years back about doing some charity auctions on eBay. So he's a very talented miniatures painter, and he painted up some stuff and auctioned it. And for the past couple of years, I've been doing it. So this year, I really went big, and I auctioned off books along like Unbroken by Ms. Hildebrand, and I've auctioned off games and board games and card games and more models and stuff, and money's still coming in from the auctions and stuff. But I think generally it's safe to say that out of the $250 goal that I'd set for myself, that we have raised $581.50, which is a new record for me for 1 year. So it raises that bar up a little bit higher. And of course, it's all because of the generosity of people like you who've seen what we're doing here, made donations. And I know that not all of you were able to donate to us, and that's okay. And maybe there's other people you know who are doing it, or other charities or other things. And I understand, but we've got some donations and it makes a huge difference. So this is almost $600, which is amazing that we were able to raise. And next year, I'll have to set the goal a little higher. I think it's safe to say that setting goal for 250 and raising over 580 means that I can probably set the goal higher. So we will see about doing that. And there was a lot of really cool auctions, so many, and I talked about them in other episodes, and I don't want to recap, but beautifully painted models. And I'll try to get a photo of this, but Dave wanted to thank me for doing things. So he painted this gorgeous, it's a 28mm ancient Roman figure. And the guy's fantastic. It's a beautiful model. If you watch the live stream, you'll see the model in there. And it's gorgeous. He's done a fantastic job. And if you don't watch it, then you won't see. But like I said, I'll try to get a photo of it. It's beautiful. I don't even know the manufacturer of it, but it's a gorgeous model. It's brilliant. So that was this year's Extra Life 24-hour Gamerthon for 2016. Let's move on to the mailbag section of the show. So from Facebook, listener Joshua said about episode 171, which was the Fort Devens Game Day 2016 episode, he said, "Nice job, guys," unquote. So first of all, thank you, Joshua, for taking the time to listen to the episode and then leave a comment. It's great when people, you know, click like on Facebook or plus one on Google Plus or whatever, you know, on Twitter for when the episodes are out and stuff. But it means even more when you actually are able to comment and send a message that way so that you see what's going on and you're like, that's really cool. Nice job, guys, because then I can see your comment. And I can be like, hey, let's put that in a mailbag section, because who knows, your comment might appear in a future mailbag section of the show. Get your name out there and you can see that. And it's really cool when you do that. If you have a blog or you have a podcast or something, you can actually put the name of your stuff in there. You can be like, I run the blah, blah, blah blog. I think you guys did a really good job. And then I'll see this like, listener so-and-so from the blah, blah, blah blog. Nice job, guys, unquote. And the same thing with iTunes reviews. So you can leave reviews for us on iTunes or Stitcher. Put the name of your show, the name of your blog in there. Put a link to it, and that way I can see it. I can be like, so-and-so of the blah, 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 blah podcast said such and such. You do a great job. I really like when you, I wish you could have so-and-so on as a guest and whatever. So it's kind of a cool way that you can leave feedback for the show, and then you can also get your name out here because I'll say it on the show. And I will make mention of your blog or your podcast or, you know, whatever you're working on. I have a few announcements for everyone that I'd like to make. So first of all, and this is what I mentioned last episode, but I'm going to mention it again because I want to make sure people know. It's an announcement that sounds like a not good thing. It sounds bad, but it's actually good. So because the show's been going on so long, it's the longest running tabletop wargaming podcast on the planet, period. That means there's a lot of episodes, right? Even though episodes come out basically twice a month, every other week, there's still a lot of episodes. And as a result of that, there's so many episodes that it's overwhelmed the pipes that the podcast travels through in order to get to you. And when that happens, that means new episodes don't get to you. So you might subscribe. You might be like, I'm on my phone, blah, 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 blah. And I'm going to subscribe through my favorite podcast app, whether it's that Apple one or whatever's on Android, or we recommend Pocket Casts, but there's, you know, a variety of them. If the pipes are plugged, if they're clogged, the new stuff doesn't come in, so you won't get new things. So we create the new episodes and we send them out, but they don't go anywhere. And so in order to do that, we've had to cut down on the number of episodes that go through those pipes. And what I've decided to do is that I've limited it to the 3 most recent years of episodes. And that tends to be something like, we do like 25 episodes a year. Let's say 25 for easy math. So that ends up being about 75 episodes. So the older episodes still exist. They have not been taken down all the way back to when we began. You just have to go to our website, wargamingrecon.com, and you can get the old episodes there. So they will never be removed as far as I have any say in the matter. They will always be there, but only the most recent episodes, so 3 years worth, 3 years of content will be in the pipes that will then show up in your podcast app. Or if you go to the website, they'll be right there. But you know, if you go to Stradio or whatever, the 3 years worth, that's a lot of stuff. So even if you've never listened to them, you download them all, it's going to take you a while to listen, right? Because it's an hour worth, 25 episodes. Like I said, 75 episodes, that's 75 hours worth of content roughly. So it's going to take you a while. And then if you want to go back to the old stuff, you go to the website. One thing I'm considering doing, and I haven't made up my mind yet, but is that doing kind of like a compilation where I will take a whole year's worth of episodes and put it together in one episode. They'll literally be all the episodes back to back, no alterations, whatever, just hit episode one, episode two, episode three, you get the idea, and they smush together. So they'll play one right after another, kind of like if you have Netflix and you're watching a TV show and you're binge watching, and they all just play one right after another, you'd be able to binge listen to an entire, don't binge listens. You could binge listen to an entire season of Wargaming Recon by having the whole season together. So you download it, it'd be really large, super gigantic large file, and you get it and you can play. So I'm thinking of doing that. So you're thinking, well, it's a whole thing, so how is it not going to clog? It's because of the number of episodes, not the size of it. I could do the same number of episodes where they had 5 hours each and it shouldn't clog it. So this is something I'm thinking of doing. I'm also thinking of kind of compiling all of them, but making them just available as downloads on the website so that they'd be like compressed together. So I'd have all the episodes that'd be in a folder. You download that whole folder, like a zip folder, and you could get it and then play it on your computer. So we'll see. It's something I'm working on. I haven't figured it out just yet, but I want to make it easy for you guys to get this older content. But really, when I look at the stats and I see what people listen to, you're listening to the new stuff, which is great. But when we go back even older into the season, people don't listen to it as much. You listen to it when it came out. If you missed it, you're not going to go back 10, 20, 30 episodes ago. Most people don't. Some of you do, which is great. And I love because there's a lot of great older content. But because not everyone goes back to the beginning of time, back before there was light, you know, you don't listen to that older stuff. So that's kind of why I'll take older content from time to time and I'll refresh it and make it available to you, or I'll put a new spin on it and release it as a new episode to kind of update it and make it fresh. So that's something I do as well. So that's the main announcement about this. And like I said, it sounds bad. Like, oh, you're going to get less stuff, but you're not. You're going to get more actually, because if I didn't do this, you wouldn't be able to get everything. So that older stuff that you're not listening to anyway, it's still there. You can get it by going to the website, wargamingrecon.com. But the new stuff is what you want, and that's what's going to be able to continue to get delivered automatically to you. So when you subscribe in iTunes, you subscribe in your favorite podcast app, it'll come in, and you'll get it on your phone, your mobile device, your tablet, whatever you use. It'll be there. 3 most recent years worth of content. That's a lot of stuff. Like I said, we do between 20 and 25 episodes a year. 25 for easy math. That's 75 episodes of content, 75 hours or more worth of stuff that will show up right away that you can then download and get automatically. And then the older stuff, you can go to the website and you can get it that way. You can play it on the website, you can download the file, whatever. I want to take a moment to thank everyone who supports us on Patreon. So Patreon is a great way that people like you, yes, you listening right now, that you can support the show. So if you like what we do here at Wargaming Recon, I say we because it's not just me anymore. I get my buddy Mike Payne, who's a co-host, my buddy Alex, who's a co-host, my buddy Adrian's a co-host, and of course Joshua, who is our show notes scribe, and I forget the rest of his title because he and I were working on it the other day to try to be like, what's your title going to be? I don't know. What do you want it to be? Let's see. I don't know. Let's think about this. I think he went with audio technician and show scribe or show notes scribe, something like that. So there's a bunch of us who make Wargaming Recon possible now. And can't do it for free. It costs money to do all this kind of stuff. And that's where Patreon comes in. So that listeners like you, yeah, like you, can say, yeah, I'll give you a few bucks. So you choose to back the show. You can do it for as little as $1 per month, and you'll get cool rewards. So first of all, for $1 a month, you get all the episodes that come out. You get them before non-backers. So I release them a few days before it goes out to the public. Then you also get behind the scenes content. It might be blog posts that I write specially for you. It might be extra video, audio stuff, bloopers, whatever. Goes out behind the scenes content to backers. And then there are other rewards that you can get so that you can get things like we have Wargaming Recon measuring tape. I'll mail you a postcard, a Wargaming Recon postcard. It's personalized with my thoughts and stuff on it. I have new custom D6 being made. I'm working with Christopher Rett for that. They're wooden. They're going to be custom made. We'll have them sometime beginning of the new year. A variety of things like that. And right now we are $16 away from our next Patreon goal. And that goal will allow us to buy equipment to record in person with a guest or record at conventions and things like that. $16 away. So we're so close. All it takes is 16 of you to back for $1 a month. Or you can just have a couple of you backing at a higher level. There's a bunch of different rewards out there that you can do. A lot of cool stuff that you can get. So I think you should take a peek. WargamingRecon.com/Patreon. And once you're at the website, you'll be able to see all the different reward levels. There's bumper stickers, t-shirts, a variety of things. I can even do a custom level, as I've done for Kyle. I created one for him. It's custom. He and I know exactly what it's composed of, but basically I call it the Kyle level. It's only for him. So he chose it. He backs at that level and he gets the special rewards that are just for him. I'm happy to do one for you too. So if you don't see something in our current levels that you want, but you want to see if I will be willing and able to do something custom for you, reach out to me, Jonathan@WargamingRecon.com, or on Facebook. We have WargamingRecon.com/Facebook, or on Twitter. We're there as well. Reach out and see what we can do. We'll work something out, I promise. So I want to thank everyone who is a Patreon backer. Dave in the Wargames at Battleshades Facebook group, Patrick, Chris Parker from dayofbattlegames.com, and Kyle from Vermont for your very kind support. One of the levels that you can back at is where you are thanked by name and episode. So these very kind backers have backed at a level that includes that. And like I said, if you want to support Wargaming Recon because you like what we do here, Patreon's a way to do it for as little as $1 per month. As I said, episodes release first to backers on Patreon, and you get behind the scenes content, and you get the episodes before everyone else, and there's other really cool stuff. So it's very easy to do. It's not a problem, and you can get in and do all that really cool stuff. Don't forget about our episode guide. I know I said this is the last new episode for this year, but the episode guide is going to become very important because in it, it tells you when the new episodes are. It gives you the release schedule, show ideas, guests who will be coming on, links to the episodes, and all that kind of stuff. And every year I update it, so there'll be a new episode guide for the 2017 podcast season. You'll see some cool stuff in there. I'm going to be beginning to work on getting guests and everything for the beginning of the year. So you can get all that, wargamingrecon.com/episode guide. Yes, it'll be in the show notes. Don't worry. The next episode of the show comes out December 19th, 2016. And I know what you're thinking. Wait, you said this is the last new episode of the season. And that's true. So let me do a little bit of explaining. Because I know not all of you are longtime listeners. Some of you are new. So this is going to be a little weird. So what I do here at Wargaming Recon, we release brand new, completely brand new episodes up to a certain point. And then I take basically half of December and half of January, and I take it off. So my birthday is right before Christmas. I celebrate Christmas. I celebrate my birthday, New Year's, all those holidays and everything. And I use that time to kind of have a break away from the show, and also use it to recharge my batteries, spend time with family, and brainstorm and think about things for the new year, what I want to do, and all that kind of stuff. So instead of just leaving you with nothing for basically a month, what I do is we stop recording brand new episodes at one point, which is why this, the one you're listening to right now, this is the last new episode of 2016, but it's not the last episode. So we will have two best of episodes. They will come out on December 19th, 2016 and January 2nd, 2017. And what these are is, these are episodes that will be chosen by us here at Wargaming Recon, ones that we like for particular reasons, and then there'll be an intro, which will be new content, about 5 minutes or so of brand new content added at the beginning of the episode, where we explain why it's a best of episode, what we liked about it, why we chose it, and things of that sort. Maybe give you a little bit extra behind the scenes content, the extra stuff that wasn't in the original, and put that in at the beginning and make it available. Cool thing about this is that it's kind of like when you watch a TV show and they do one of those flashback episodes, and not everyone likes them, but like they have that, and so they refer back to the older stuff, but they add extra content in it. It's kind of like that. So it's great because you're going to get something that we consider one of our best episodes of the year. You're going to get extra new content about it. It's going to put a new framework on it, a new spin, new stuff, but it doesn't take as much time on our end to do it because we're not doing a whole hour long episode there. We've already done the hour long. We're adding extra content into it. So that extra content doesn't take all the time and effort and money and everything to do. So you're still getting new stuff added to it and a new spin and everything put on it, but we're able to do it without all the resources needed so that we can still spend most of the time here to do things like celebrate the holidays and spend time with our families, and also to work on brainstorming and all the stuff to plan and everything for the 2017 season, but we can still get you this stuff as well. And then the 2017 season begins on January 16th, 2017. It'll be episode 174, and that'll be the first new episode of that new season. So just to rehash, this right here, the Extra Life episode that you're listening to, is the final completely new episode of 2016. There will be two best of episodes coming out December 19th, 2016 and January 2nd, 2017. And then the first episode of 2017, the first new episode of that season, will be on January 16th. Now, if you subscribe to the show, you don't have to worry because they will all come to you per normal. If you don't subscribe, please do go to wargamingrecon.com/iTunes and you can subscribe that way or go into your favorite app. Like I said, I love Pocket Cast. So you can go on your iPhone, your Android device or whatever and subscribe through Pocket Cast or whatever your favorite app is. And that's a show for you. So I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode of Wargaming Recon. Don't forget the link to the show notes is wargamingrecon.com/WR173. That's wargamingrecon.com/WR173. I want to say how much I appreciate that you've taken the time to listen to the episode and that you've been listening and hopefully loving all the episodes we've released in 2016. It's been a great year here. I'm sure I'll talk more about this in our best of episodes and as we go into 2017, but a lot of really cool changes here. A lot of great things have been happening. Like I said, these wonderful co-hosts of Mike, Alex, and Adrian. We have Joshua, who's on the team as well. And a huge, huge shout out and gratitude to Joshua, actually, because he is doing all the audio editing now, and he does show notes, so he makes it possible for me and the other guys here on the show to sound as good as we do, and the show notes to be so legible and easy to read and access and use and everything. So he's fantastic. Huge shout out and thanks to him and to everyone really who's a member of the team and who listens and spreads the word and everything. So I'm so grateful and thankful for you. So thank you again. I hope you listen to episodes you haven't heard before. I hope you will listen to the best of episodes. Hope you like it all. Love to hear from you. WargamingRecon.com/Facebook. It's how you can reach us on Facebook. You can reach me personally via email, Jonathan@WargamingRecon.com. Or we're on Twitter. You go to WargamingRecon.com/tweet. You can get that. And of course, the link to the show notes, WargamingRecon.com/WR173. So you know the drill. No matter how busy you are, no matter how much gaming you do or money you're raising for charity, you know you have to, you gotta, you need to keep on gaming. Are you always on the go? Why not take Wargaming Recon with you? If you use an app like Pocket Cast, you can listen to your favorite episodes of Wargaming Recon and all of the other podcasts that you know and love. Or you can always stream and download the latest episode of Wargaming Recon by heading on over to the show notes for that episode. Wargaming Recon is a proud member of the TSR Podcast Network. Visit wargamingrecon.com/TSRPN for more information and to learn about the other great shows on the network.
This recording is released under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Share Alike 3.0 license. Look for Wargaming Recon online at www.wargamingforums.com. We're also on Twitter, Facebook, and Stitcher Radio. You can learn more about this episode by reading the show notes on our blog. Many thanks to Andrew and Court for inspiring the show's name. Thank you for listening, and keep on gaming.
Wargaming Recon is dedicated to the memory of longtime listener Andrew, who helped give the show its name. I ask all listeners to join me in a moment of silence in memory of Andrew. Wargaming Recon is made possible by listeners like you. Become a Patreon backer to get behind-the-scenes content and new episodes before everyone else, starting at $1 per month. Visit WargamingRecon.com/Patreon to become a Patreon backer. Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by the Maine Historical Wargamers Association. They're the folks behind Huzzah! Historical Wargaming for New England. Huzzah will take place May 19th
through the 21st, 2017 at the Doubletree in South Portland, Maine. Experience some of the best historical wargaming at Huzzah! Visit www.huzzahcon.com for more information.